Well, it's Easter Sunday. It's Resurrection Sunday. The implication, as we have sung about it, is that Jesus is alive and he has given us his life. Hope that you picked up a sheet coming in. You can take home these truths with you this morning. We usually pray sometimes before we start our message. I wonder if we had the Apostle Paul here this morning. And we say, Paul, would you come and lead us in prayer? I wonder what he would say. Well, we do have an idea because in the scripture, he prayed for the church. And it's found in Ephesians chapter 1. And I've summarized a little bit in your notes, but I might read the fuller version to you from the scripture of Ephesians 1. And starting in verse 15, he says, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." So what did he pray about? "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. And he put all things under his feet, gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." So what's the summary of this prayer? He's saying, you know, when I think about you as Christians and serving God, he says, I pray for you. He says, I constantly mentioned you in my prayer. And he says, I pray that that you would receive a spirit of wisdom and understanding, that the eyes of your understanding would be open, that you might understand the exceeding power that's given to you as the church. And he said, I want you to know what is available to you. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the power that's now working in us. And he says, you know what? This is the presence of God. This is the church. And he said he's now given everything to the church. Jesus, who had a physical body, raised from the dead, rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven. But he's still here on earth. He's here in this body, which the scripture says he's the head. We're members of that body. So we here today are the members of Christ, and everything is given to us. We are the representative of Christ in the world today. Now that might be overpowering, but this is what he says. I'm praying that the eyes of your understanding would be open, that you would understand you're not in this on your own. There is a tremendous power that's working in you. And he said, I want you to be aware of that power because you are my body in the world today, and I want you to live it out and express it. Wow. I wonder if we are aware of the exceeding power that's working in us. Are you aware of it? I'm not sure we do, other than maybe sing about it on Sunday. And that's why he prays this prayer, because we're no different than people in the early church. He said, you need to understand. You need to wake up to this. We sang the song, Awake, O Sleeper. Awake, O Sleeper. We can have this life, this power within us, but somehow we're sort of sleeping with it. We're not aware of it. We're not actually exercising it. We have the life, but we're not really active in any way, in a conscious way. And he's saying, I want you to wake up. I want you to understand this power. And so this morning, my goal, my hope this morning as we look at the scripture, that we would see what the power of the resurrection is. It's not just words, not just phrases we sing, but there's a reality of living in this power. So the first point I would make is this. Do you know the exceeding greatness of his resurrection power? Do you know it? Romans 8:11 says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. He says, I want you to know that the same power that the dead body of Jesus was raised to life, that same power is working in you, and it's going to quicken your physical mortal bodies. Now, we know after we die, if we die first, that that power is going to quicken these mortal bodies and we're going to live forever. But if you read this in context, he's talking to breathing, living Christians, and he's saying, I want you to know that there is the power that worked to raise Jesus from the dead is working in you, and it will quicken your mortal bodies. You see, the task that the Lord has given us to do, you can't do it in your own strength. And especially when you hear this message this morning, it's an impossibility. What we need is the power of God. And rather than just sort of throwing up our arms, well, I could never do that. Oh, that's not possible. Then suddenly we say, I'm aware, my eyes are open, my understanding's opening. This is not on my own. There's a power, there's a resurrection power of life that's working within me that's going to allow me to do the very things that I'm given to do. Once we live this out, here's the next point. His life in us is the light to others. This life within us is the light to others. It says in John 1, verse 4, in him, speaking of Jesus, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So the life that was in Jesus became the light of the world. It just wasn't the miracles that Jesus did. In fact, he downplayed it and said, don't tell anybody. He had just had compassion. He healed people. But he said, don't tell anyone. How is he the light of the world? He was the light of the world, not in his miracles, not even in the things he taught alone, but it was in his life. He was living something out. That's why when he called his disciples, he didn't sit them down in a classroom to explain things to them. He said, just walk with me, follow me, see how I respond, see how I live, see how I act. They were his disciples, disciples of life. And so it is with us. We have God's life, and just like Jesus' life was the light to the world, even today, folks, you find hard for anyone to criticize the life of Jesus, no matter what persuasion they are, what religion they are, even if they're not Christians, they'll say, hey, he was a good man. Man, if everybody could live the way he lived, it'd be a better place. Because his life was the light of the world. Now, John 8:12 says, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So I want you to see that God's life within us is what produces the light. Now, the next point is this. His life in us is displayed, the light is displayed to the world as love. So we see this progression. The progression is from life to light to love. This progression of his life, this resurrection power being worked out in us. 1 John 3:14 says, we know we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. So he's saying to these folks, if you say you're Christians and you're following me and you have received his life, you're born again, and you are the light of the world, he says, but you don't love your brethren. He said, the very fact you'll know this life is working in you because it's producing the light of love. You are expressing his love to the world. And this is the way you know. We fool ourselves. If we claim to be Christians, followers of Jesus, representatives of his, but we don't love anyone, there's no expression of love, then all it is words. Or we've experienced the life personally, but we're sleeping, we're not expressing it, and he wants us to wake up. That's why Paul prayed the prayer. I'm praying that you, your eyes of your understanding be open, that you would understand the exceeding greatness of his power that's working within you, and that this is what's going to change the world. I'm praying that my eyes will be open this morning. I'm praying that all of us sitting here would come to a fresh awareness of the implications of the resurrection, that the power that raised Jesus from the dead is working in you. He's working in you to bring his life and his light, which is expressed through his love. Here's how 1 John 3:16 says, by this we know love. Because we could say, well, what is this love? I mean, we talk about love, the word love we throw around so much. But what does it really mean in practical terms to love? Well, it says in 1 John, hereby we perceive the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? So he's saying, we know that life will bring light. Light is love. Well, what is love? He says, well, we understand what love is. God so loved the world. Jesus came, was perfect, no sin. We were the sinners. We were the ones that did acts of defiance and rebellion. And the Bible says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So we understand the love of God because it's shown in Jesus when he laid down his life for us. So if we're going to follow in his footsteps, if his life is in us, and we're to be lights to the world, and that light is to be love, then we ought to love those around us. And we ought to lay down our lives for others. Well, you say, that's not fair. They don't deserve it. Look how they treated me. Look how they acted. They offended me. They lied about me. Well, the exceeding power of God's life within you triggers up the life of Jesus, who was perfect, had done no wrong, and was offended by all the acts of the people in the world, and Jesus died for them, took their place. Well, that wasn't fair. No, it wasn't. But I'm so glad he did it. I'm so glad that God so loved the world he gave his only begotten son. It didn't have to be, and you could argue it shouldn't be, but God so loved us that he took all the wrongs and all the sins upon himself, and he died on the cross for us, and that's how we perceive the love of God. Now we're challenged. You have his life. You're to be the light of the world. You ought to, in the same way, lay down your life for people that's offended you, hurt you, spoke evil against you, spitefully used you. Now we begin to pick up the language that Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount, but loving your enemy and doing good to those who hate you, and praying for those who spitefully use you. Now suddenly we realize, okay, that's the path we're to take. That's the challenge before us. That's the hope of his calling. That's the inheritance he has in the saints. That Paul's praying, I hope that you would see the hope of your calling, what God is expecting from you, and hey, we just throw up, I can't do that. I can't. Well, yes, he says, I hope that you know the exceeding power that's working in you. When you receive Christ and you give him his life, he gives you his life. Now this life is the light of the world. This self-sacrificial life now comes into us. We're to live that out. We're to show it to others. Do you see it? Is it dawning on us? That's what Paul's praying. I hope this dawns on you. I hope you wake up to this truth. Because this is the hope of your calling. This is what it's all about. This is what we're in the world for. This is what the church is to do. This is what the church is to be. Not just follow religious teachings and practices. I mean, all those are fine. It's not just reading your Bible every day and praying every day. All those things are good and helpful. But that's not the hope of your calling. The hope of your calling is that you'd be lights to the world. The light to the world is the self-sacrificial love of laying down our lives for other people. Again, I say, it's not fair. No, it's not. That's what's going to get the attention of the world. That's why you're going to shine in the world in this way. Listen to what it says in 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you, be of one mind. I mean, come to one understanding. Be of one mind. Having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, and I'll add sisters. Love as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, return blessing, knowing that you were called to this. This is what it's all about. This is not strange. This is not an aberration. You might have to do this. No, he says, this is what it's all about. You're going to shine in this world. You're not going to act in the same manner. You're going to see one that has need. And you're not going to close it up in your heart. See, it said in the earlier verse that you close your heart to the one that has need. No, you got to open your heart to let the love of God out. And so you're not returning in the same kind. Someone mistreats you, well, I'll mistreat them. Hey, they give me the cold treatment, I'll give them the cold treatment. They showed what their displeasure, I'll show my displeasure. You're not to return in the same way. That's how the world does. Jesus said, that's what the world is like. But he says, you're not like the world. You're to be lights in this world. You're to act differently. These are powerful verses that I hope dawn on us. We know it. When the verse is read, we sort of, yeah, I'm familiar with that. But we never think about it. We never let it affect our life because we've shut up our heart. That which we have received of the life of God, we've shut it up somehow. We've gone to sleep. We're not acting. We talk about love, sing about love, pray about love, but we don't express our love. Not in the same way Jesus did. And so this is a real challenge to us today. It goes on in the next verse, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing, he who would love life, you want to love life, and see good days. Those of us as Christians that want to love life and see good days, it says, let me get back to it here, let me find it. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. In other words, you got to watch your words. Someone speaks to you, you are going to be so quick. Some of us, your tongue is so quick to respond. But if you're going to love life and you're going to see good days, you got to keep your tongue from responding in kind and realize, and this is it, realize this is my opportunity. This is what I'm called for. This is why I'm left in the world. This is how I'm going to shine like a bright light. It's to express God's love. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, yes, I can, because I realize the exceeding power that's working in me. And that power is quickening my mortal body, quickening my mortal tongue to speak good things, not to speak evil, but to be kind, be courteous, not returning evil for evil, reviling for reviling. I just want it to dawn on us. I want your eyes to be open to this truth. This is what it is to be a Christian. See, we think, okay, I've laid down my life to the Lord. I've asked him to come and live in me. But now as we walk it out, we want God to bless our old life. Our old ambitions. Our old goals. Putting ourselves first. We want God to bless that. Don't we? I do sometimes in my prayer. Not realize, listen, that's not what it's about. I have died to my old self. It's not to resurrect my old life. I'm to live in my resurrection life. He's given me a resurrected life. I have new purposes. My purpose is to lay down my life, which I've already laid down. And it's so easy to lay down my life when I realize I've already done it. And I'm going to allow his power to cause me to act in a different way than I would have ever acted before. It says, let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. The Bible says, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. As much as depends on you. Who are you in conflict with? Who are you at odds with? Who have you given the cold shoulder to? Who is the person you don't want to be around? You avoid. Because you're not at peace. You don't feel peace. Listen. And you say to yourself, if they apologized, everything would be okay. If they just change the way they're acting, okay. But if they don't change, don't expect me to take that. And the old life rises up. And then we ask God to help us in our old life. Not realizing we're missing the whole point here. The whole point is that now you have an opportunity to show them something that they don't know. They're walking in darkness. That's all they know. Respond in kind. Protect yourself. Fight back. That's what they've been trained. That's what been taught. They're walking in darkness. The blind leading the blind. They're trying to find their way through life. We are children of light. We've learned how to respond. We know how to see good days. And the good days is to do it God's way and live in our new life and be excited about the challenge of living out this new life for the Lord. Again, I say, this is why we're called to be Christians. That's what was in the prayer. Here's the definition I put in your notes. Love acts sacrificially in the ultimate best interest of others, regardless of the personal cost or lack of recognition. Now, this is quite a mouthful, and worked on this trying to get it in the right form. In my book, I wrote a whole chapter on this. It's funny how you can write a chapter on it and then later think about it and say, am I living that out? One thing to teach it, it's another thing to live it. To be have a sacrificial life as Jesus laid down his life sacrificially. Not just, not fair, but he did it. He laid down his life. He's laying down his life for us. And he's doing it for our best interest. Our ultimate best interest. God always acts in the ultimate best interest of everyone. Now, that's why there's discipline. That's why there's punishment. That's why things happen. You may not like that thing, but you know, we discipline our children because we realize this is in their ultimate best interest. They're not liking this, what I'm doing and the punishment I've put on them, but I'm acting in their ultimate best interest. So it doesn't mean when you love someone, you always just acquiesce to all of their demands. No, but your heart is, I want to sacrificially lay down my life for this person. I want to act in their best interest, their ultimate best interest, so the best outcome comes to them. And you do this without the thought of, well, what's it going to cost me? I have my limitations here. No, you're not even worried about the cost. It cost Jesus his life. So the Lord goes right to that in the scripture and says, you ought to lay down your life. So don't worry about a few dollars or a little inconvenience here. I mean, we're to lay down our lives. So we're laying down our life, and we don't look, we're not looking for recognition. We're not looking for a pat on the back. We're not, you know, wanting someone to say, you know, that was really something what you did there. Boy, I really admire the way you acted there. I mean, that's nice when it happens, but we're not doing it for that. We're doing it because we're just living out the life of Jesus, what he would want to do. And he has us in this world as his body. That's why he said, greater things you'll do than I've done, because I'm going away. But you're my body. I've given you my life. Now you're going to be in 1,001 places or 1,001,000,000 places or now, what is it, 6.5 billion places. God's life in us, we're shining like bright lights in this world, and we're not looking at what's the limitations around this or what's in it for me. We're just following the love of God that's coming forth from his heart. So, here's the next point. Suffering is an inevitable part of life. It's just going to be part of your life. It's not, will I suffer? I wonder when I'll suffer. Suffering is part of your everyday life. Now let me try to unpack this for you. 1 Peter 3. And who is he who will harm you? So the first thought, you start thinking, well, if I start doing this, I'm going to really be taken advantage of. But the scripture says, and who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? If you actually start following out what I've said here, who's going to harm you? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. Those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, let's all say that together, for it is better, okay, you're not with me, say it again, for it is better, okay, now this is where the eyes of your understanding has to open, because you're not thinking this way, I'm not thinking this way, but it's better, listen to what it says, where am I? For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. So here's my premise to you. You're going to suffer either way. You're either going to suffer in life for doing evil and living your life your own way, walking in darkness, stumbling into things, trying to cope with life. You're going to suffer. You're going to suffer for not seeing things clearly. You're going to suffer for your mistakes and your errors. You're going to suffer. I'm glad that we do suffer because it gets our attention and say, I don't like this. So you're going to either suffer for evil. Okay, I don't want to do that. So I'm going to follow God and I won't have any suffering. No, you're going to suffer now for good. It appears like suffering. It's really not suffering, but it appears like suffering because it looks to everyone, well, that's not fair. That shouldn't be how it is. That person shouldn't lay down his life. He shouldn't be the one that takes the penalty. It's not fair. It appears like you're suffering. And in the aspects to our flesh, it is suffering. You got to die to yourself. This is what keeps your flesh dying. That's why you got to take up your cross daily. You got to keep taking it up, because you got to keep dying to yourself. And there's suffering on the cross, but it's a suffering to a blessing. And it's a suffering where you at the end say, it's a good life. This is a good life. I want good things in my life. This is a good life. But you're going to suffer either way. So why don't you just settle it in your mind? I'm going to suffer for doing good. I'm not always going to get my way. I'm not always going to get the apology. I'm not always going to get the thank you. I may not be appreciated when I do this act, this self-sacrificial act. It's going to be misunderstood. It's okay. I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing this as unto God. I'm doing this for the Lord. This is what I'm called to. This is how I shine like a bright light in the world. So I'm going to do it. And you do it as unto the Lord. So you're going to suffer. You can't escape it. Here's the next point. We do not shy away from sacrificial suffering, but we embrace it. You have to just embrace it. And just say, this is what's going on. You get up in the morning and you say, today I'm going to lay down my life for someone. Today I'm going to show love to someone who doesn't deserve it. They're walking in darkness. They don't know the way. They don't know the path and the love of God. I'm going to have to show them. I'm going to show them the love of God. And so you just choose to do it. You've settled it. Your eyes are open. You're aware of the hope of your calling. Now listen to what these verses in Romans 5 say. So he starts here talking about our salvation. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And rejoice in hope, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope is not disappointed because the love of God is poured out in my heart by the Holy Spirit. So I see the process. I'm going to have tribulation. I need to embrace the tribulation. I don't think it's strange when these things happen. I just realize this is order of the Lord. This is my assignment today. I'm to show the love of God today. Oh man, I'll pray that my eyes would be open to see this. I mean, I tell you, they get shut awfully much. I mean, I don't like it. There's part of the flesh who doesn't want to have the tribulation. But the eyes being open, you go, I glory in the tribulation. And that's why, and I think I even put it in your notes, to the outside observer, we are suffering. But in reality, we are experiencing the glory of fulfilling our purpose. People look on and say, oh man, look at that. No, we're glorying in it. We're excited about it. This is what I'm called to. And when you walk in the things of God, you feel His peace. You feel His joy. There's a glory that comes. I'm fulfilling the purpose for why I'm in this world. These are powerful truths. And then it goes on, because you see, the tribulation is producing more of the character of Christ in you, the life of God, His traits, His abilities. And now I have hope that some good things are happening. And ultimately, the love of God is shed abroad. You just have to keep hoping. Here's our problem. We do this. We lay down our life for someone, and we don't see any difference. And we go, well, that was sort of lost. I did what I thought I should do. I laid down my life, but I don't see anything coming out of it. It's like you're in the Saturday between Good Friday and Easter. But as the old saying goes, it's Saturday, but Sunday's coming. See, we lay down our life, and like Jesus, we go through weekends and longer periods. But we're not seeing the resurrection life. We're not seeing the benefit in someone else's life. And then the enemy comes and says, see, why are you doing this? You're just sacrificing yourself for nothing. But you're not doing it for even for the result. You're doing it to express the life of God. You're not doing it for the results. Knowing results will come. But I don't have to produce the results. I mean, he just says for us to love. Leave the results to the Lord in his time. And I found after years, people will come back and they'll say, you know, I didn't understand at the time what you said or how you acted. But I see now that was all of the Lord. He was showing me something. You don't know what your sacrificial act of love will do in someone's life. You don't need to know. Because all you're doing is letting the power of God that's working in you give you power to live out a life that's the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Listen to John 9:5. Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Then he says in Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. And then it says in Philippians 2:15, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. We don't shine in lights of the world because of what we proclaim with our mouth or our religious activities. You will shine like a bright light when you go contrary to the natural reactions of people. And you're loving in face of offense. And you're loving your enemies. And you're doing good to those who are misusing you. And that's done in the power of the Holy Spirit. And you're finding joy in doing it. Others look on and can't understand why you're glorying. And you're just happy because you're... It's not in other things that's producing your happiness and your joy. Your joy is in living the life of God. I tell you, there's nothing better than that. Absolutely nothing better than living your life and letting him live his life through you. It's a powerful, powerful thing. So here's my final comment to you. Are you excited about your calling? I mean, are you excited about this yet? Or your eyes not been opened yet? I don't really see this. I don't understand this. Then we need Paul to pray for us. I pray that your eyes will be open, that you'll understand what the hope of your calling is, what God is expecting in you through your life. Because when you do that, we're the hope of the world. We are the absolute hope of the world. This is a crooked, perverse generation we're living in. And people don't realize they're just trying to cope. They're walking in darkness. They need some lights. They need some people that just sacrificially love them, care for them, support them, around them. Yes, correcting. Yes, disciplining. But it's always done in the sense, and they know you love them, you care for them. And just as our children need to know we love them when we discipline them. We need to be in this world, but we let the life of God shine in their life. Because you can't change a person, only God can change a person. And so we need to take these steps of just letting his life flow through us. Here's the final verse, Philippians 3 and verse 9. And to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Now listen, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings. Oh, why is that in there? I like the part where if you give your heart to the Lord and trust him, you're going to know him. And folks, that's powerful. You'll know God. You'll know him for yourself. He'll make himself real to you. You will know him if you come to the Lord. And you will know the power of his resurrection. You're going to see changes in you, transformations within you. And then it goes on to say, and the fellowship of his sufferings. You're going to walk in the same path. He laid down his life, you're going to lay down your life. He suffered in that same way. It's a suffering to your flesh, but not to your spirit. There's a joy in your spirit. You're having excitement in your spirit. But yes, there are some things you just have to die to. Well, didn't you do that when you gave your heart to the Lord? Buried your old life in the waters of baptism? Buried the old life? Don't go back and try to survive and give it artificial respiration, you know, a CPR, trying to get that old life back. No, just let it be dead. Die to yourself. Live your new life in the Lord. Be excited about the joy that he gives you. And I tell you, all the rewards that come as a result of it, and be conformed to his death, it says. Wow. This is what Easter is all about. What would happen? I mean, what would happen if all of us got excited about this? What would happen if every day, as I said, we wake up with the expectation, today I'm going to love someone sacrificially. Yeah, I'm going to have to lay down my life, but hey, I do it joyfully. Jesus laid down his life for me, and there's a joy of following him that I will experience no other way. And then you start to walk that out, you experience it, and one experience leads to the next experience, and you enjoyed that one so much, and then it leads to this. Now you're just living your life, and everyone looks on and say, how are they doing that? And you realize you're not doing it at all. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. His resurrection power is working in you. Do you desire that this morning? Let's stand together. Would you just open your heart? Just open your heart to the Lord this morning. Lord, I pray that you would give us the spirit of wisdom and understanding, that the eyes of our understanding would be open, that we would know the hope of our calling, that we would know the inheritance that you expect in us as your people. Lord, we want the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray that this Easter would be an Easter where we really open our heart to your power. May we die to ourselves, live unto you. Realize that when we receive your life, that life is going to be a light to the world, and it's going to be expressed through our love. So help us as a people to be transformed. Lord, may we go into every avenue, every home, every street. May we take this into our workplace, into our classes, into our neighborhoods, into every interaction we have with people. Would we just go excitedly, realizing I'm a light and I'm going to express your life to other people. And drawing on your power every day, I pray for that resurrection power to be in each one and to quicken our mortal bodies. I pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.